Good morning, men of God. How's everybody doing this morning? It's good to see you guys up and early. And honestly, I'm just excited to be here. This is my second week at Men's Fraternity. And honestly, y'all are the real deal. I have felt absolute warmth and welcome from each and every one of you. And I'm still processing it and just eternally grateful for the opportunity to be here with y'all. And so, are you awake? Yeah, are we well today? All right, very good. I hope everyone was able to get a bite to eat, some coffee. Again, shout out to the kitchen staff. I tried showing up a little early to help out. Got kicked out really quick because they have an amazing, amazing system going on. And just huge shout out to them. Can we show a little appreciation to our kitchen staff? Thank you guys. You guys make the best croissant sausages I've ever had in my life. Honestly, it's phenomenal. And just before I start, I want to give a quick shout out to my personal mentor. How many of us are fans of Pastor Josh Parrish? Can we show a little appreciation to... this week, he has been everything my family have prayed for, a mentor, a friend, a pastor. And so, Josh, it's an honor, and thank you for trusting me with this opportunity. And so, for those who don't know me, my name is Josh Campos. I am a Peninsula native. I live, born and raised in South San Francisco, so technically Northern Peninsula, but we're still in the Peninsula. And I am married to my beautiful wife, Brittany. Just to give you guys a little bit of detail into my life and into who we are. I've been married to Brittany for 8 years this July. And she has been... Thank you. Yes, we can clap for that. Absolutely. She's made me better. And all the husbands say amen, right? And honestly, we have been given the biggest honor and opportunity to father and mother our 16-month-old daughter, Olivia. And so you will see them in Sunday between both services. And it has been my biggest joy to discover her personality, teach her about faith even this young. I mean, literally last night we were having dinner and we were both holding her hand. And she's on cue. She holds both mom and dad's hands during prayer before the meal. And when we're all done saying prayer and giving grace, we all say amen. And so she is definitely a party and a ball. And we enjoy being able to do that in this season. And so to give you guys a little bit of clarity and perspective, we live on the same track that my wife Brittany grew up in. So grandma, let me paint a picture for you. Grandma lives directly across the street from us. My in-laws, which I consider my own parents as well, live right around the corner from us. My brother lives just the next town over, San Bruno. And my own folks live 2 minutes down El Camino. And just last year, my parents, they experienced something that they had never experienced before in the 31 years of living in their neighborhood in South San Francisco on their track. Their vehicle, their car, was stolen from their driveway. And as you guys can imagine, I don't know if anybody has had that experience before, anybody's had their car stolen from their driveway or in front of their house. It's not the most pleasant feeling to wake up to, right? You feel violated. You feel, of course, something's been stolen from you. And so they were shocked and they were hurt by it. And about 5 days later, the local authorities, the police, called to say that they had found the car miles away in the city of Oakland, stripped completely, and awaiting for us to go and pick it up and find it. And so they were distraught, and it was a hard season for them to see and to experience that. And it wasn't until a few days after that we learned that there was security footage that was taken from a nearby street, a business that showed exactly who the people were that took the vehicle and what they did, stripping the tires and everything from it. And to our surprise, it was none other than our neighbor's son and his friends that we have known since we moved in and befriended 31 years ago. And this was such a heartbreaking moment for my parents, for myself as well. If you guys get to know me, I'm so protective for my family, the people I love, my loved ones. And so, you know, obviously my emotions were heightened. I was ready to go to war. I was just telling my dad, listen, Dad, we got to report this. We got to make sure that we put charges. And I just remember my dad's response was completely different than what I could have ever imagined. See, instead of going to the police department in South City and writing the report and putting the charges, he chose to retreat. He chose to pray. He chose to seek God in solitude and to ask him for direction. See, he never confronted the young man. He never went knocking to our neighbor's house and putting the facts in front of them. Instead, he took matters to the Father. And months have passed, and I didn't hear much about the situation until my old man gave me a phone call and mentioned to me that there was a young man in the neighborhood that had approached him recently, just that week, asking him questions about his faith and his walk with Jesus and his community and where he was gathering. And if y'all ever meet my dad, which you will very soon, he'll be coming to CPC and visiting at some point. I'd love for you guys to meet him. He's such an evangelist at heart. Just a few years ago, he was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma cancer. And about a year ago, he was cleared, and to this day, he's on remission. To God be the glory. But during that time, he's the guy that was evangelized to his nurses, his doctor, the staff, everyone around him. That's my dad. And so it came to no surprise to me that he shared the gospel with him. And yes, consequently, he shared the plan of salvation. And that young man accepted the Lord, accepted Jesus as his Savior. So that young man began attending my dad's church for the past 2 months. And ever since then, to this day, he's been faithfully involved there. Now that young man, to our surprise, was the same neighbor's son who a year ago had stolen my father's car, stripped it apart in the city of Oakland, and was now walking hand in hand with Jesus. Yeah, we can clap to that, absolutely. Come on. See, I share this story because in many ways it mirrors the response that we see in Jesus in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And let me give you a little bit of context here. Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark 1:35, Jesus is at the very beginning of his public ministry. One of the most intense seasons of his life. He had just taught in the synagogue. He had cast out demons and he had healed the sick. The crowds were growing. The needs were overwhelming. The demands, they were constant. And so we read this, Mark 1:35, if you have your Bibles. I know we have it on the screen, but prefer to do it here. And it says this, it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed." See, guys, what I want us to understand here is that right in the middle of momentum, in the middle of pressure, in the middle of opportunity, Jesus chooses to retreat. Before the disciples wake up, you know, I'm thinking of this morning, many of you here today, right? All of us here have decided to wake up very early in the morning to make the conscious decision. Before the next meeting, before the next miracle, before the next demand, he chose solitude. He chooses prayer. He chooses communion with the Father. And I can only imagine the weight that he was carrying at this time. All the people he had met up to now, the pain that he had seen through his own eyes, through the accounts of his friends, his loved ones, people he had just met. The mission before him. Let's not forget what endgame was here. The cross. The cross that awaited him. But see, in many ways, we live with a similar weight as well. Guys, if we take inventory of our lives, there's always something on our calendar. Am I right? We have work, the finances, family responsibilities, relationships, health concerns. So I want to ask you this morning, what are you carrying right now? What weight did you bring into this room? Because very easily can this turn into something more routine. But we all know that we're all coming into this new year. Yes, a promising year, an exciting year, an expectant year with goals in mind. But many of us come with a weight. And that's okay, because so did Jesus. Even though we've started a new year, some of us are still carrying the stress, the disappointment. Maybe some of us are carrying some bit of grief today. Or the anger from last year. And last week we heard from John Mark Comer about spiritual disciplines. And I loved how he reminded us that we usually don't defeat our deepest struggles head on, but we address them indirectly. See, we might not be able to control our anxiety that we feel at times, but we can practice the Sabbath. We may not be able to instantly defeat the lust that is buried in our minds and what we see, but we can guard what we watch. We may not be able to erase the greed and being able to be selfish, but we can practice generosity throughout our day, throughout our week. And Jesus understood something powerful. See, he could not control everything that was happening to him. He could not control what was happening to his friends and his loved ones. He could not control the circumstances. He could, but instead he decided to retreat. Here in verse 35, we see that he retreats to commune, to be in presence, in the presence of his Father. And so we are reminded last week that spiritual disciplines are not the scoreboard for maturity, but love is. Love for God, love for people. Jesus withdrew not to escape people, but to love them better. And my Father, in his own small way, did the same. Instead of reacting, he chose to respond. Instead of taking action into his own hands, taking revenge, seeking justice, he chose prayer. And the result was not just a recovered sense of peace, but the byproduct was a transformed life. And so my prayer for us is simple this morning, gentlemen. That we would just take an honest exam of what we're carrying. Because when we're hurt, so let's be real for a second, we've all felt hurt. Maybe at this very moment, we're feeling hurt. Something that we experienced in this last week, month, the year we just crossed over from. When we are angry, when we feel overwhelmed, that we would just not react, but that we would retreat, that we would find a quiet place, that we would seek the Father, and that we would choose response over reaction. Because sometimes the greatest work God wants to do is not through us, but in us. Before he works through us, he wants to work in us. Can you bow your head and pray with me today, this morning? Lord, you are a good, good Father. We just thank you for your son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for laying the foundation, for teaching us what it means to respond and not react. And my prayer for each and every man in this building today, God, is that you would fill us with your Spirit, Holy Spirit, that you would guide us in the moment that we face trials and tribulation, when we face opposition, Lord, may we be reminded of what you did, what your response was every single time, to commune with the Father. And Lord, our desire today is to do that, to rest in you, to choose love over all. I bless our time as we transition into discussion questions and we get to hear people's perspectives and we get to talk more about what you're doing actively in our lives, God. I pray that you bless us, that you be with us. In your name we pray, amen. Well, it's an honor to have shared something with y'all, and honestly, those are real accounts, things that have happened in my life, so thank you for being open to listening to all that. And we have some discussions here, and we're gonna let each and every one of you go ahead and discuss them. I don't know if I'm supposed to read them off. Yeah, okay, yes, absolutely. So starting here, the first question is, where have you personally felt the weight of exhaustion? And what practices have you implemented to incorporate a true Sabbath, a full day to stop, rest, delight, and worship as an act of trust in God? And so, do I also read the, yeah, awesome. And then the second question is, has anything held you back from implementing the Sabbath and other spiritual disciplines to help you become more patient, more present, more loving in your relationships? Share some obstacles or friction points that you have faced. And number three is, what are some ways a man can faithfully follow Jesus beyond personal practices, such in his work, family life, integrity, repentance, forgiveness, and service? And where do you sense God inviting you to grow in those areas right now? All right. Excited to hear the conversations. Be blessed.